Let's begin with some questions. What if I told you that truth is immutable? What if I told you that it isn't fluid and doesn't adjust to the times we live in? What is the barometer you would use to answer these questions? There are so many conduits in this world we live in vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. These outlets are constant in their pursuit for your soul, looking for your participation to accept its standard of truth. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. This eternal truth is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Making the choice to rely and depend upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. This is the only decision for you to make if abiding in the truth is your life's aim. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Praise the Lord and welcome faithful and new listeners of the Spoken Verity podcast. For those of you joining us for the first time, I am Remy Sozo Eko, and I have the honor of leading the conversation today with my brother, the Reverend Wiley Harris III. Man of God, blessed greetings.
Well, what a blessing, brother. Thank you. It's good to be here. Yeah.
It's always a joy and a blessing when we get together to share the verity, which is the living Word of God in love, brother.
Amen.
Amen. TSV family, we are also grateful that you're joining us for another inspiring episode of your favorite podcast. Now, let us commit our time together into the careful hands of our sovereign God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this venture, the Spoken Verity. Thank you for this topic today, talking about your church, the body of Christ. And thank you for those who you've called to not just this episode, but to this entire podcast, how you're using it to edify them. Even today, talking about the church and how that would also help to edify the entire body globally. We submit this episode now into your careful hands and we submit our vocal cords that you would flow through us. Let nothing be of us, but all of you, less of us, more of you. We have come here to sit at your feet, including our listeners, and glean from you. Let revelation come now for your entire church. Let there be edified through the listening of all that me and the Reverend are about to conversate about. We thank you again for the strength, for the grace to do that which you've called us to do. Breathe upon us afresh and new now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Rev, last week, Holy Spirit led you to present before the communion table three in one topic, if you would, focused on three aspects of our sovereign God, his gifts, his presence, and his will. As with all our conversations, it was another refreshing time of Bible study and fellowship with the TSV family. For those who may have missed that episode, please share some highlights.
Thank you, brother. TSV community, yes, our 53rd communion was a comprehensive study concerning the connection between God's gifts, his presence, and his will for our lives. As you listen again to our episode, or for the first time, please do so with your spiritual ears, listening for the leading of the Spirit of God. He desires you to understand that the gifts sovereignly bestowed upon you by our God will not flourish outside his presence, and that you will not fulfill his will for your life by attempting to direct those gifts and callings in a manner that suits you. That leads to death, my friends, being separated from God. Holy Spirit desires intimate connection with you to direct those spiritual gifts in his presence so that you can fulfill his purpose in your life. My brother and I are so thankful to Holy Spirit for his leading of us as sons of God. TSV family, as always, we thank you for staying connected to the Spoken Verity podcast through whatever digital platform you choose to do so. Brother.
Thank you, Rev. Just as the Rev said, the podcast is available on all digital platforms and also on our website, thespokenverity.fm. TSV family, the focus of our conversation for this 54th episode of your favorite podcast is the church. In almost all of our episodes, that phrase is always mentioned, either in the discussion questions or several times within our response to those questions or ad-lib comments that we may have. One could assume that everyone knows what that phrase means. Everyone understands why being connected to a local church is important for a follower of Jesus Christ. And everybody knows what the agenda of the church is. But do they really? I personally felt that way when Holy Spirit gave me the topic to present as the subject of our conversation today. Like, that's common knowledge. What are we going to talk about? Well, even if it is presumably common knowledge, I believe Holy Spirit is leading us to this topic to bring more of a revelation to both the Rev and I, as well as you, members of the TSV family, especially in these perilous times which we live in. In addition to that, a topic like this might cause some to feel judged or criticized, and if they allow it, lead to bitterness and anger when it ought not to be so. Old and new members of the Spoken Verity family, we implore you to listen with your spiritual ears, and if possible, have your Bibles close by as well. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Having said all that, let's get into some ecclesiology, which is the theological term for the study of the church. We will begin by establishing a foundation for our conversation as I invite my brother to kick us off. Rev, what is the church?
Thank you, brother. And I appreciate how you've unpacked this in terms of setting the foundation for our global audience in just understanding the church and understanding its role within the kingdom and how it now aligns with God's will for his people. And the understanding of that is central to us as believers in Jesus Christ to know what our purpose is and what our role is and the role that the church plays within that. And when you ask this question, brother, this is really a simple question.
Yeah.
In terms of the specificity of it, right?
Yes. Yes.
And my answer that I provide will be simple and is detailed in scripture. The church is the body of Christ.
Come on.
That's what it is. And here are a few verses of scripture that state this verity without ambiguity. Now, I know that there may be some other theological definitions out there that attempt to put layers and things of that nature on it, but the church is the body of Christ, and we're going to have more detailed conversation about what that means, because there are a lot of people, a lot of churches that feel like they belong to the body of Christ, but yet they do not teach or preach or live out anything that Jesus taught. That's another conversation, but that's not what we're doing here. They are not a part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We're going to be very clear as to what that is. So let's start in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And it says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." So here's the church being tethered to the body.
Yes.
Ephesians 5, 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body." Again, the body of Christ. Colossians 1, 18 says, "He is also head of the body."
Come on.
The church. So let's get some clarity here and not attempt to parse it and add to the word or to take away from it. It's very clear here.
Yes.
What the church is and who is the head of it.
Come on.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Now you see in these three sets of scriptures, brother, the word body. specifically as it relates to our Lord and Savior. The body of Christ is all men and women who have fulfilled what is prescribed for salvation in Romans 10, 9, and 10. This is a familiar passage for faithful listeners of our podcast. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. TSV family, this is done by faith, by the now believer, and provides salvation from the wrath to come. You are now a member of the global church. Others use the word universal. This distinction, meaning the global church, differs a bit in application regarding the local church that we will discuss in the next segment. But as a brief segue, the local church is where you gather with other members of the global universal church. So, brother, the church is the body of Christ.
Oh, Rev. It's not surprising that we will be repeating each other's words. Like, it will just be a different voice and influence or intonation, but we are in each other's notes. And I love the fact that Holy Spirit zeroed you in on the body. And in my time preparing for this, he started me off, let's say, like a 30,000 feet and brought me in. And I'm about to get into that. A little bit of the theological part of it. And I was wondering where this was headed. But when it landed, brother. So let me share what Holy Spirit gave me for
Let's
this question. Like I just stated, in my preparation for this episode, specifically this question, what is the church? I kept coming across a Greek word, ecclesia, as the true meaning of the word church. So naturally, I had to do some more word study. And for those who may not know, ecclesia in the Greek means an assembly of those that are summoned or a gathering of those that are called out. My research also led me to find out that such a body is usually legislative or jurisdictional in purpose and power, which basically means that they are a governing body tasked with making laws for the benefit of their community. So one could then say that the church is an assembly or a gathering of a group of called out people with spiritual authority acting in accordance with God's principles to fulfill his kingdom agenda here on earth. Thinking about all this, my mind kept bringing images of like a UN General Assembly where heads of states, ambassadors, and other important dignitaries gather to discuss world affairs. If we replace that mental picture I just painted with the original intention of the church, as I just described, we could say followers of Jesus Christ would gather and enact spiritual decrees over areas of demonic oppression, and it would be so. Like, oh, this area in this city is being oppressed by this spirit, and they will decide on what needs to happen, just like a UN General Assembly, right? But let's go to scripture real quick and see what the verity of the word of God says. Matthew 16, starting at the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, verse 15, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." A nugget I got from there, Rev, was, who does the church say Jesus Christ is? That's the question for a whole different episode. In asking that, and you just read from Romans 10, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, which Simon Peter just did. But it is sad that some section of the church do not wholly declare Christ as the Son of the living God, and they call themselves the church.
Right, which means they're not the church, like you said.
Brother.
Yes.
Let's continue reading. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." That's where the Ecclesiastes came from. "And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Verse 19, this is where the whole thing flipped for me. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Rev, Christ is saying, "I will give." First, it wasn't, "I might give you, maybe I will." "I will give you." And then it's not just, "I'll give you a key," the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you give me your keys, like, bro, here are the keys to the house. That means I have access to everything inside the house. Here is Christ telling Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And he goes on to say that whatever you bind on earth, that part of the verse, we are familiar. Whatever you bind on earth is bound, or whatever you lose is loosed. This means the church has heavenly resources which give us authority and access to bring about God's agenda on earth in accordance with his will and purpose. But as we continue to discuss now, we will find out, why is the church not living up to its full mandate when here Christ himself is saying that the keys of the kingdom of heaven has been given to us? But anything you want to add before I move forward?
When you're saying that we have these keys, this is the authority that's been given to us.
Yes.
When we receive Jesus Christ. The church has it through membership in the body of Christ through receiving Jesus Christ, but those keys don't have any authority or any power without Jesus. So
yes.
If you're not, you don't believe in him,
come on,
but you're operating as if you do,
come on.
And then you attempt to use these keys and speak this authority out of your mouth, even with the appearance of it, with these large edifices,
yeah,
and all these different things that are going on.
Yeah.
But you don't believe everything that's in the Word of God. You don't believe from Genesis to Revelation.
Yes.
You add to the Word, or you take
it's
away
right
from the Word,
yeah,
or you do,
yeah,
little things to make it fit what you think the congregation wants to hear.
Come on.
That's not the church. So I know we're going to have more conversation,
yeah,
on this, but when you say that, "Upon this rock will I build my church," Bill, he said, you are Jesus Christ,
yes,
the Son of God.
Yes. Yes.
So if you're
come
not
on
saying that,
come on,
and I'm not talking about just, you know, a surface scenario.
Yes.
I'm talking about a lifestyle,
yes,
of speaking and living,
yes,
your life that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He
come
is
on
the risen Savior of the world.
Come
and
on,
if you're not operating in that and you call yourself a member of the body of Christ, the church, you are in deception, my
yes
friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you don't have access to those keys.
No, absolutely not.
That is
no
why
power
you go ahead binding and losing things and nothing is happening.
Right. Exactly. Unfortunately, yes. And
sadly,
these
so
are, yes, and these,
yeah,
are places that we may giggle and joke about that, but it's something that it needs to be clear, because when people think that they are operating as believers in Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm,
they didn't do what was prescribed in
come
Romans
on
10, 9 and 10.
Come
that's why
on
the question is a simple question, depending,
yeah,
upon your position in terms of how you want to answer it.
Yeah.
You kind of went global and then came down.
Yes.
I was very specific in how you are actually a part of the church.
Yeah.
And if you have not done what it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, and then continued in that, as scripture,
yes,
says, you are not a candidate, you have not been reserved for salvation, you have not been sealed,
yeah,
by the Holy Spirit of promise. So
mm-hmm,
we'll continue in this, I know, brother, in the next segment.
Yes, brother. And further study of the church within biblical context led me now towards the responses that you gave as a global body consisting of everyone who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, as found in 1 Corinthians 12:13 through 14. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many.
Come on.
As my brother shared, this idea is more of those who consist or belong to the church globally, not necessarily assembly per se. But it still goes to prove a point here that the church is still the church, even when it is not holding meetings. And we have a recent experience of this that is very tangible during the global COVID-19 pandemic. We could also view the church as a local assembly, as my brother shared, of believers in Jesus Christ who gather in love and unity to fellowship with one another, as was recorded of the early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, I have come to the point where my brother was. The church is also considered the body of Christ. My brother has read Ephesians 1, 22, Colossians 1, 18, Ephesians 5, 23. And he left two verses for me. So I'll read from those.
My man.
1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Going down in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually.
Yes.
What is so interesting in our conversation, Rev, is that there's not been a single mention of denomination as being the church. We don't have the time to get into that.
Yes,
if you
missed
that episode, we have a full one. Holy Spirit led his son, the Reverend, to give us a full episode on denominations. Please, after listening to this, go back to episode 28 and you will get fresh revelation on that topic.
Amen.
Rev, anything you want to add before we switch to the second segment?
Well, quickly, since you brought denominations in, the reason why you and me will not discuss denominations is because denominations are not from God.
Yes.
They're demonic.
Yes.
They are governments. They're systems of government set to control the narrative, the message that comes across. Now, it does not mean that people that are within these denominations cannot receive Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. That is not what we're saying. And again, when you listen to episode 28, you'll be able to understand that. But what it does say is that if you hold the denomination above the truth that is the word of God, then you are not a believer in Jesus Christ. That's it. Clear. And if you don't understand that, I'm sorry. Prayerfully, when you go to episode 28, it will come into your spirit and you will be revealed to that. And you will say, okay, well then, Holy Spirit, what do I need to do now? And again, those denominations are demonic at their core. That's what they are, because it's not what God said.
Yes.
It says one body, one Lord, one Christ, not all of these different segments of sects and denominations that come up with their own laws and their own traditions and their own rules, which again are meant to control. So yeah, that's the only thing that I need to add to that piece as we go to the second segment, brother. You brought that in and you've lit another fire. So let's keep going.
I know. That was just a snippet, a recap of episode 28.
If you have
not listened, go back and listen to it. And then we would like to hear from you. Reach out to us on social media or on our website.
Amen.
TSV family, as with all our episodes, we pray you are listening with your spiritual ears and allowing Holy Spirit minister to you during this time as only He sees fit. This is very important as we start getting deeper into this conversation, because in this second segment of today's episode, which is focused on the church, we will examine why being a member of a local church is important for a follower of Jesus Christ. As I just read, the early church was recorded as continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And other verses bear to this verity. But let's dig a little bit deeper. Rev, please come back to the mic and help answer this question. Why is local church membership important for the follower of Jesus Christ?
Brother Sozo, Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 answers this question for us. And as I read it, I will highlight the answers to your question within these scriptures during my reading. Starting in verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters," so right there we see what this is being, who this is being addressed to members of the body of Christ.
Come on.
Which we know is the church. Mm-hmm. Now, it tells you how this occurs in the very next portion of this verse. "Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus."
Come on.
So your entrance into church membership in the body of Christ and into the local church is by the blood.
Come on.
That now ratifies you. It seals you with that Holy Spirit of promise, the blood, the blood of Jesus, the shed blood that he gave for us on the cross. "By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings." This is a part of why it's important for local church membership for a follower of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We're drawing near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings. Scripture says in 1 John 5, "And this is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And since I know that he hears me, whatsoever I ask, I know I have the petitions that I desire of him." Where does that confidence come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Where do you hear the word? You should be hearing it in the local church where you get fed. Now, prayerfully, that's what's happening. And in the third segment, we'll talk about some of those things in more depth as to what the mandates are and things of that nature. But this is how you build your faith from a natural perspective, in terms of you hearing it get into your spirit so that you can now fulfill the call of God. But you can't do that by yourself.
No.
In terms of where the church is in terms of your spiritual edification. Obviously, you can get directly from Holy Spirit in your communion time. But he tells you in the last part of this verse about the assembling of yourself. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. So having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. So here we go again. This is a part of why church membership is important for a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, remember, we're talking about the true church here, mind you. We're not talking about these denominations that have come up with these rules and these regulations that if you miss the mark, that you are now, you have no opportunity to return back to Christ. And I know that that sounds crazy, but there are religions that talk about that. We talked about this in our episode on religion versus relationship, that we forget about grace. And this is what it's talking about here. Having our bodies washed with pure water, our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Well, this comes from the gathering of the saints, that the Spirit is there. He's leading and guiding you. The shepherd of the house is speaking that word to be able to do this for you as you receive it. This is a part of why local church membership is important. Verse 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." So here's another part of why it's important. We are considering how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. So we're basically attempting to see who can outlove the other. Who can we give here? Who can we engage with? Because we are in the presence of those that God has connected us with. He knows their needs, and he knows if he's going to use you to meet them, and he knows if you're going to be willing to allow him to do so. Now, if you're going to church just to receive something from somebody, you're out of pocket in the first place. But what I'm saying is that this is the opportunity. This is the setting. This is the venue in which God has set this up for you to be able to receive. Amen. Now, it's not the only place that you can, but this is a part of the building, the discipleship, all of the things that are necessary for you to fulfill his purpose in the earth.
Amen.
Verse 25, not giving up meeting together. So here's the other part of this. As I mentioned, this is not a place where you can only do it in the church.
Yes.
You can only do it, you know, in the building, in the gathering of the local church. But it tells you not to forsake the assembling of yourself. This is another translation from this translation here. And that part means that you need one another. You need other believers, others that believe like you believe, that speak the truth that is the word of God out of their mouth, like you believe, like you speak it, like you walk it out, so that you see that the iron sharpening iron, the coming together and edifying each other, building each other up. Scripture tells us to encourage ourselves, yourself in the Lord. And see, when you're encouraging yourself, you can encourage others. But you have to have that in you to recognize that I'm not going to do this by myself. I'm going to come together as he tells me to do. I'm going to put forth the effort to come out and get myself together and do all of the different things that engages to do what God said to do. And I'm going to be on time when I come. Come on now. I'm going to start getting a little bit on some people that can't know. I'm gonna be on time when I come, because when I go to work, I'm on time,
bro.
I'm not concerned about, you know, hey, well, let me make sure. No, you know that this is your life, brother. So why would I fall back and say, okay, well, maybe I'll get there when I get there. Well, you don't do that for your job. Which one's more important?
Come on.
And see, this is where we have to understand that Holy Spirit. You look for, well, how come I'm not being used? Why are these things not happening in my life? Well, there's an excellent spirit that you have forgotten. You have forgotten that this is what he's desiring for you to be able to fulfill his purpose.
Come on.
But you think that you need to do it another way.
Yeah.
But when you come into the local church, when you are operating in the place that he has you within the body of Christ, it will allow him to work through your life. And you need this as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus Christ. You need your brothers. You need your sisters. You need the connection that comes with like believers, those that are operating under the same spirit that have your life, your will, your purpose together and fitly joined together by the Spirit of Almighty God.
Amen.
Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And I was just talking about that. This is the encouragement here. And all the more as you see the day approaching. And what's that day? That day is the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes,
that's what we're doing. Again, we tend to forget what our mission is.
Hey.
We are here as ambassadors of the King
on
a kingdom mission to win souls and to establish his kingdom in the earth.
Yes.
That's our job.
Yes.
And then we are looking, earnestly awaiting his return for us.
Amen.
And we do that within the local church.
Yes.
And we can do that with outside the local church as well.
Absolutely.
But for this question specifically, this is a part of where our local church membership is important.
Absolutely.
Now, brother, our love for our fellow man is demonstrated by our giving deeds for and to them. For God so loved the world, he gave. So that's what we do. That's how we demonstrate our love.
Yeah.
We get to demonstrate that when we gather together as true worshipers, as true believers in Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen, amen. Bro, I don't even know from where to come with this. You laid all of it out, being led by his spirit. If I can summarize it, we need each other to help each other grow, to encourage each other, as he says, to stir each other. It's like me and you running a race, but we're not focusing on Who gonna go ahead of Remy? It's like, come on, bro. Oh, come on, Remy. Come on, Rev. Come on, Sozo. Come on, Rev. Come on, Sozo. We're running together. The goal is not, we're just going. Come on, Rev. Come on, Sozo. You get this, you share. I get this, I share. Edification of the body. Our eyes is not focused on ourselves. Like, what's my own? Please, let me focus on me. No, it is about the other people that are just placed in our life. You see somebody that's not living right, the Bible says that you have to step in and make sure that you restore them.
Those that are spiritual, you cover the one. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Things like that happen in the church, and it's time to gossip about the person instead of covering them. When you were talking about coming early, the other part of that is leaving early too.
I was
church starts at 9. You get there 9:30 and you leave at 10. Like in the middle of here you are, knowing that okay, your confession of Christ as Lord and believing in your heart and Holy Spirit leading you to stand up and all that is that first step. It's happening right here. The plea has been made. Just wait. This is the important part of the church. No, I got to bounce. Right? That's what we're talking about. I got mine. Yeah, if they don't stand up, that's their business. I got to go. Here is somebody that's maybe struggling with it, trying to communicate with Holy Spirit. And you're like, let me pass. Excuse me. Rather than in that moment be praying, acting Holy Spirit, move, save them. Yes. As you just shared, brother, this is what we were called to do. Come right on. There, that very moment is our job.
Yes.
Right there, in that moment.
Come on.
Nothing should be more important. Oh, yes. Oh, Father, the way you called me, called somebody. That soul that you are trying to save, save them now. Don't let them live here. As the pastor is praying and making that altar call, you are interceding. No. Mm. What's my own, man? I got to bounce. Man, the game's about to start. I got to leave here before all the traffic busts up. We got to do better. We have to do better.
Mm-hmm.
I'll answer this question, Rev, from where you led us to in the first segment. The church is the body of Christ. When a person trusts Jesus Christ for salvation, that person is immediately made a member of the body of Christ. When they believe in their heart, it says that in 1 Corinthians 12:17, as we read, now you are a body of Christ and individually members of it. Now, if we look at a body, for a body to function properly, it needs all of its parts.
Yes.
We have pinkies and certain parts of the body that may not seem important until there is a pain related in that part of the body, or it's not functioning right. And you're like, oh, wow, this tiny part that I never really focused on, and just that little part of it, all parts of the body is needed and they have to be present to function. When we wake up in the morning, the leg doesn't go to sleep like, okay, let the brain and the hands do the work. All parts of the body have to be alive. 1 Corinthians 12, starting from the 14th verse, for the body does not exist of one member but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body, which is Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Also, it is very important for a follower of Jesus Christ to belong to a local church, because you get involved in some type of ministry, and then it goes to the use of your spiritual gifts. This is where it now connects to our previous episode from last week about his gifts, his presence, and his will. The local church is an area where you can use your spiritual gifts that you've been entrusted with to edify his church and to help others get better. Because all of the gifts, like we shared about in that episode, is for serving, born out of love. This is an area where you can live, you can be able to love one another, encourage one another, and as my brother just shared, spur one another to do love and to do good works, like it says in Hebrews 10:24. Anything else you have, brother?
You know, when you bring up the fact that his love for us and the gifts that he's given us, it allows for service. And that's the service piece in the local church. It'll allow for you to now exhibit the gifts that he's given you through service.
Yes.
And we talked about this last week as well. That's what these gifts are for.
Yeah.
It's not just for you and the growth for you. Now, that's a big part of it, but part of your growth, part of your maturity is service. And when you serve, Jesus was the ultimate servant.
Come on.
He gave himself for us. So when you have that heart of service to now go into the local church and volunteer or do those different things, remember, you're not doing it for the people.
Come on.
You're doing it unto God, and he will direct you to the people. See, a lot of times we lose sight of that. We think that our service is unto the leader or unto, you know, a congregant or something of that nature. And yes, there is a service aspect there, but your fidelity and your devotion is to God Almighty, to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's who you serve. And when he directs you to those people, you'll be doing that. When scripture tells us that you fulfill the law and the prophets, it's from love. That's how it occurs. And so we need to remember that as members of the body of Christ, when you're serving him as he directs you to serve his people.
Come on.
So I just wanted to add that piece before we go to the next segment, brother.
Thank you, brother. That is so important. Yes, you do it as you're doing it unto the Lord. You're not doing it for anybody else. And you don't do it to look good.
Right.
Yeah. The whole focus is just Christ. It's just, this is the little bit I can do in appreciation of what that which you've done for me. TSV family, we hope that you've been listening with your spiritual ears and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work as we continue on our conversation on the church. Now going into the third and final segment of today's episode. Rev, identify two things that the church should be doing now according to its biblical mandate.
Brother, when I saw this question, it made me think to myself, wow, the fact that we're even actually having to have this conversation to identify these things that the church should be doing, which means that they're not doing it because we wouldn't have to have this conversation. And we understand this is not perfect. The church isn't perfect. Now, that he does require the church to be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. But we've talked about this before. The reason why that occurs is because of Jesus Christ. He sees the church through the eyes of the blood. He's not seeing it through our actions and what we do wrong. Jesus Christ remitted those sins. And the spot, the wrinkle, and the blemish being wiped away, coming away, is because of the blood.
Amen.
And I know that's another conversation, but I wanted to reiterate that because as we're having this conversation for the final segment, TSV family, don't sit back and think, okay, here it is. This is in judgment. That's not what this is about. This is focusing on what needs to be done and what the biblical mandates are and where we are having challenges. And if you're not looking at these things and now taking an inventory of yourself and how it relates to what's going on in the church and in this world and where your position is in regards to the truth, then you'll be leaving yourself open for the enemy of our souls to attack. And so you have to stay in that posture, not in condemnation, but you have to but in judgment. Scripture tells us to judge ourselves, lest we be judged. And so we want to make sure that we're doing that, but only judging it under the lens of the word of God.
Yes.
So there are many things, unfortunately, brother, that we need to be doing within the body of Christ, the church, that we can discuss. But the two that I have been led to unpack here will account for where we are in the church and how it has failed in fulfilling these biblical mandates. I know this is going to be cutting to some, but, you know, this is what the word of God does. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We've talked about this scripture in great detail, and it's very important because this is the part to where you get better.
Yes.
You start to hear what needs to be done. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So
Come
that
on.
word will continue to build into your spirit, and you'll be able to recognize the difference between the truth and the lie.
Yes.
And my God, in the world today, nobody seems to know that. Everything
No.
is that's truth is a lie, and everything
Yeah.
that's a lie is the truth.
The truth, yeah.
Or they're coming up with a new term that no one
Yes.
knows about and attempt to set some sort of definition that makes completely no sense to anybody other than the spirit that's working within them. And this is that's another conversation as well.
Yes,
But let's go ahead and unpack this first place that we need to improve upon. We must speak the truth, that is the word of God, in love as written, not adding to it nor taking away from it. Now, this piece right here is what determines whether you are actually operating
Come
as
on.
a true believer,
Come
a
on.
true worshiper of Jesus Christ, or where the Roman church was as the workers of iniquity, those that had a form of godliness. Although they knew God, they glorified him not as
Yep.
God.
Yep.
They attempted to turn the truth of God into a lie. Now, I put the disclaimer of an attempt, because the truth is the truth.
Come
You
on.
cannot change the truth, but you can attempt to deceive by adding to and taking away from the word of God. And you must speak this truth in love. When you speak the truth in love, the love allows it to root into people's hearts.
Come on.
That's what you need to be able to change. Because we can speak the truth, but if we're yelling the truth, it may not be received.
Yeah.
Again, it doesn't change the truth, but it does change how it's received.
Yeah.
And if it's effectual to
Yes.
get into the hearts of those that need the change. Now, here's two passages of scripture that support these biblical mandates, speaking the truth that is the word of God in love
Yes.
as written,
Yes.
not adding to it or
Yes.
taking away from it. Revelation 22, 18 and 19 from the New King James. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Do you understand, TSV family, that if you are adding to or taking away from the word of God and speaking this out as doctrine,
That's truth,
as
yes.
truth, as presenting it in that manner, you are an enemy of God, and you have been put yourself in the place of being taken out of the book of life. Do you understand this?
Come on.
This is
come
something
on.
That I don't think people understand.
Nope.
These ministers that are out here speaking and teaching things that are of the world and passing it off as truth.
Yes.
This is not truth.
Mm-mm.
The word is truth.
Come on.
There's enough in there
yeah.
to parse and to
Come
give
on,
out
man.
And to speak out. You
yes.
don't need to add to it.
No.
You
Not.
Speak it as written.
Yes.
In love.
Yes.
That it can be received by who needs to receive
to
it
receive
and
it.
When they need to receive it.
Absolutely.
Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. This is from the King James. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So when you speak the truth in love, it grows up. This is the word growing up, the love of God, Jesus Christ, growing up in him in all things. This is what's getting rooted into your heart.
Yes.
This is what the word of God does. It is an incorruptible seed. It will produce God's nature and
Come
God's
on.
Life on the inside of you. It will do
Come
that.
On.
Provided you speak the truth in love
yes.
as written.
Yes.
Verse 16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Here we go again with love.
Yes.
This is how the building up of your spirit comes, the changing of your heart. Love.
Yes.
Now, brother, before I identify the second directive we as a church must be doing in these last days, let me add that our speaking the truth, the gospel, must be to all the world. Now, what do I mean here? Mark 16, 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Come on.
Now, what does this scripture mean by all the world? We hear this scripture a lot. We hear it passed around and bandied around. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yes.
That scripture means you go where he sends you.
Mm.
If he tells you to go next door and witness to your neighbor, you do it.
You do that, yes.
If he tells you to go to a foreign nation and preach the good news, you do that as well. You do what he says when he says, constantly fulfilling that mandate. But you're not going to do that if you don't believe everything that's in his word. You'll do it under the guise of yourself, under what you think. Attempting to convert people and bring them in when it's not your job to do so. You don't save people. Let
Come
me
on.
Make this clear too.
Come
we
on.
Talk about that a lot. Look who I brought into the kingdom.
Yeah.
No. Look who God has used me to Preach. Bring into the kingdom.
Preach.
You must give glory and reverence and honor in the fear of the Lord to the one that actually did what you're stating. It's not you. You have no power in and of yourself. Brother, the second charge that the church must fulfill is found in Micah 6:8. Now, we've had a conversation in season one on this very directive from our God, and he is bringing it back again in season three.
Come on.
So let's read it again for our global audience. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. One translation says mortal man, which again signifies your finality, your place. You're mortal in this natural realm. Now, your spirit will live forever.
Come on.
But your body, where you're housed right now, is mortal. And there are directives that you must adhere to as a man or woman of God within the church, within the body of Christ. This is what you must do.
Yeah.
Not what you get the opportunity to choose to do. Mm-mm. It's what you must do.
Yes.
Do you want to fulfill his purpose and his call for your life?
Come
do you
on.
Want to operate in the fullness of what he has for you?
Come
then
on.
Obey his commands. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me.
Yes.
So there's the disclaimer there. This is the demonstration of your love for God by keeping his commandments.
Yes.
He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. TSV family, we must do and act justly. We must love mercy. We must walk humbly with our God. As members of the church, the body of Christ, are we carrying out this command? Are we aligned with this instruction? Is there justice in the church when the leadership in its diverse body looks the same? Are we merciful to those who have repented of sin, but may be slow to change because they don't have someone to shepherd them, to walk with them as they conform to the image of Jesus Christ? Have we even taken the time to see where we can help them in this or any state, or are we quick to judge? Are we humbly seeking the least of these to aid them in their path as we are directed by Holy Spirit? Or are we concerned about if they attend our church and are faithful givers to the same before we engage? Brother, to whom much is given, much is required. The body of Christ, the local church, must develop a servant mindset. A mindset that lovingly compels you to give as Christ gave himself for us. This posture will allow you to walk out these biblical mandates in faith, seeking relationship and not attempt to execute them in fear, focusing on religion and tradition.
Man of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bro, we started off imploring TSV family, like, listen to this with your spiritual ears. This is not the Rev and I sitting in judgment over anybody. We have no right to do that. This is more of an introspective look. It is like we say, going to the hospital and telling the doctor, my hand hurts. It's that body of Christ as we describe it, right? If the hand hurts and the head does not think like, okay, let me go make sure that the hand looks good. Let me schedule an appointment to make sure my body is functioning. Then what happens? It eventually gets to a point where maybe the hand cannot function. No, the minute I start feeling any pain within my body, I need to get it checked. I need to figure out what is wrong. That's what's happening here. We are the body of Christ. What is being done here is us just looking internally. The Bible tells us in John chapter 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Some people say it shall set you free. No, the Bible says make you.
Yes. Yes.
Make you free.
And there's no coming back from that. You're free.
Yes.
Walk in that freedom.
Come on.
Though.
Come on.
You know, sometimes you may think that you're still bound up.
Yes.
And it may be an attempt to continue to keep you there.
Yes.
But you are free.
Yes.
Who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Indeed.
Do not allow the sin to hold you there.
2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
So, TSV family, these two scriptures, in addition to those that my brother laid out for all of us, it's not our version, it's the Bible. Like I implored you at the beginning, open your Bible and look at these verses we just read. This is the word of God. We are supposed to speak truth. Those mandates that Holy Spirit led you to present, brother, were powerful, and thank Holy Spirit so much for that. One of them was also one that I was going to touch on. Like we said, we'll be in each other's nose throughout. They're talking about truth, and those two verses were where I was coming from. So I read those. I'll move over to that mandate also, which you kind of touched on a little bit. We find that at the end of Matthew, where he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in all the earth, which we call the Great Commission.
Right.
Now, this is kind of maybe a pickup of our conversation on discipleship. Mm-hmm. How much of that is being done? We're supposed to be looking at the local church, or we're supposed to be looking at the church as a factory that is producing more Christ-like individuals. And the process or the line or the manufacturing line or production line within this factory of the church is discipleship. Coming in. Okay, you want to join our church. Thank you for coming. But this is the process. You have to walk this through. We'll get somebody connected with you. It's not just about the numbers now. It's not just about anything else. It's about the souls. And then also, this now takes it just a little bit more than the call to the altar. It now takes it a little bit deeper than just that. Discipleship is so important, especially in this time. We should be creating more of us, so to speak. And that is very important. Anything you want to add here, brother, before we start wrapping up?
Well, when you were talking about the discipleship is what I was mentioning at the end of my answer in terms of shepherding. We look at people coming in and we start judging them immediately, forgetting the fact that when we were yet sinners, Christ died. I mean, so there's still, it's always going to be a place where we're going to have to improve. And when I say improve, I'm talking about to the conforming of the image of Jesus Christ. It's not in the sense of, oh my goodness, you know, condemning yourself or going through a bunch of changes because of things that have happened in life. We're all going to go through that, but it's how you process it. And part of how you process it is by having someone to shepherd, to help you, to walk through these things, especially as a new believer in Jesus Christ. Now you have, you know, quote unquote fire insurance. So you're not going to bust hell wide open, but you can still live like hell on earth because you don't have someone to help you to walk through these things, to tell you, to show you in the word of God and for you to believe for yourself who you are now. You are not an old sinner saved by grace.
No.
You are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Come on.
It's the mindset. It's the understanding of those things to now apply that into your life so that you can be used by Holy Spirit to aid in the work of the Lord of winning souls. And this is so important, because when you don't have that shepherding, when you don't have that connection, you can lose your way, because you know, you haven't learned that Holy Spirit is where you need to get your direction from. You've been getting your direction from the enemy of our souls, and now you've made the switch. I don't think that Holy Spirit will not still come in an attempt to engage with you, but part of his engagement is by sending people to help you.
Come on.
And you need to receive that help. So the shepherding is a big deal. It's very important.
Very important, brother. You just dropped something there, and I was led to one of our favorite verses or passage, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Reasonable, yes.
Then Paul continues, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. What a blessing. Thank God for his grace.
Well, TSV family, as I begin to close here, I just want to recap all that my brother and I have been sharing. Christ defined the church as that assembly with spiritual authority that is supposed to bring about God's kingdom agenda here on earth, giving the keys to the kingdom of heaven to those who operate within and are in relationship with him. We also shared about why it is so important for a follower of Jesus Christ to be a member of a local church, because it's a body, like we said. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10, as my brother read, starting from the 19th verse, that we should make sure not to neglect the assembly of each other, because within that place of gathering, there is growth, iron sharpening iron, one helping the other, spurring the other on towards the finished work. And then now in this last segment, we just talked about the mandate that was given to us from the context of where the church is missing, or where the church needs to improve on their mandate about speaking truth, not adulterated, not the man or woman in high office that is sitting in the front, or the affiliation of certain people that give to the church. No, the only affiliation is the affiliation to Jesus Christ, period.
That's it. Yes.
Nothing else.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. We are supposed to be the vanguard. We lead the way. We don't follow. We don't bend and twist. That is why there's no more power in the church. And we keep screaming and we keep shouting, because we have unknowingly and out of ignorance given up our authority. TSV family, it ought not be so.
My God.
We pray that somehow something the Holy Spirit has given to the Rev or I to share with you would spur you on and would help you. You are a part of that body. And then you can begin that first walk and then share it with someone else. And by his grace, he will fulfill that which he has called his church to do on the earth. Rev, what should our TSV family be expecting when we get together next week for episode 55?
Brother Sozo, during the 55th edition of the Spoken Verity podcast, we will unpack the sovereignty of predestination. TSV friends, we look forward to you joining us next week for the conversation.
Holy Spirit, not just predestination, the sovereignty of it.
Come on with that. Yes.
This is where you start digging into the Bible. TSV family, make sure you keep a date with us next week and have your Bible ready if you can. If you happen to listen to us while you're driving, make an effort to get home and pull us out. We invite you to make us part of your devotional time and let the Holy Spirit lead you from there as he wishes.
Amen.
Let's close episode 54 in prayer. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. Thank you for edifying your church through us today. The truth still stands. The verity still stands. The gates of hell will never be able to prevail against your church. Yes, there are some things we have to do to come up higher. Yes, we need to get sharper and focused, especially in these last days. But as Christ shared when he was on earth, we should be of good cheer because he has already overcome the world. We are not trying to get victory. We are operating from a place of victory. We are already victorious. We pray for those that you've called to this episode. We pray that you have opened their spiritual ears. And during our time together, you have done your work. It is not our job. You've called us to speak your word. You do the work. We don't convert. We don't convict. We just speak your word. We pray for your church, your global church, that it will continue to grow and that it will bring forth much fruit and greater fruit so that the Father will be pleased. I thank you for the life of my brother, the Reverend, and I, as you continue to lead us into this venture, as you continue to expose more of you to us and you continue to bless us with topics that we bring. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our businesses. Thank you for all those that are connected to us. And above it all, we just thank you for our faithful listeners and the new listeners. When all of it is said and done, may your name alone be glorified. We bless you. We love you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, brother.
What a blessing it was for us to commune together during this week's episode. We are so thankful for your steadfast support of the Spoken Verity podcast. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so that we can continue to demonstrate our fervent love and compassion for you, our Holy Spirit-inspired audience, each and every week. The heart of our podcast is to speak verity to aid Holy Spirit's leading of souls to Jesus Christ. If your eternal salvation isn't secure today, we invite you to go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the internal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God, in love. All the blessings.